into our series in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, for 1 week. Remember, next week will be Kids Crusade, so if you'd like to come and be a part of that, we encourage you to come out. But it starts at 6:15 instead of 7 o'clock. It's going to get over at 8:45. I know the little postcards back there say 8:30, but it's going to be 8:45. We're letting the parents know as they call in, so we thought we'd let you know, too, that the time will be finished is about 8:45. So just so you know, and you can mark your calendars for that. Galatians chapter number 5, we continue on in this idea of walking in the Spirit, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. To this evening, we're looking at walking with long-suffering, walking with long-suffering. We're going to do a little introduction here. Once again, I think it's important to establish this fact, to nail this home every time we talk about a different fruit of the Spirit, that this is not something we can make in our own. But instead, it's something that the Holy Spirit of God has to produce in us. Let's look here in Galatians chapter number 5. We'll start in verse number 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I mean, once again, I guess a wonderful verse, something for you to memorize, help you understand that if you don't want to sin, if you don't want to continue on doing what your flesh tells you over and over, you need to be walking in the Spirit, abiding in Christ. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." There are so many things in our spirit. Remember, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. There's so many things we like to do, so many things we like to accomplish for this, when the Spirit of God and with the Spirit of God, but we allow our flesh to trump the Spirit of God, and they're warring against one another. Verse number 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Now, he begins to talk about the works that are manifested if you let the flesh control. If you're living by the flesh, you can't live by the flesh and the Spirit at the same time. It's either one or the other. Then this is what's manifested in your life. "Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now that's how which the flesh manifests. And you see, especially one in there talks about wrath. But the fruit of the Spirit, if we're being controlled and we're walking in the Spirit, doing what we should, living for God, listening to God, abiding in Christ, we will then see what the fruit will be, the Spirit will be able to produce in our lives, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Each time when we look at a different fruit, we try to drive this fact home. The problem is that we like to think we can make this happen on our own. We like to think that if we sing enough songs, we can be joyful. We like to think that if we read enough books, we can have peace. We like to think if we look at other people the way we think we should, that we can produce love. But that might last for a little while. But our flesh will come to an end, and our flesh will manifest itself out at one point in time. Now, I say, "Pastor, I don't get why I can't do this on my own." Well, here's a truth that we like to remind us about tonight. Our greatest problems are never around us, they are in us. Our greatest problems are never around us, they are in us. And when we consider this passage of Scripture tonight, people are going to say, "I can't be long-suffering, I can't be patient, because I'm surrounded by stupidity." You know, people are going to say, "It's everybody else's fault. They just cause me to blow my top, they cause me to have a short temper, they cause me all these different things." But the Bible says, when we have wrath, it's because of the fact that it's what's inside of us. Listen to what the Bible says in Mark 7:21-23. "For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile man." So here's the point, that those things you don't like about this, yourself, the things that you struggle with in your sin, the things that you wish you could change, they're inside of you. just like the Holy Spirit of God that leads you and guides you inside of you, and they war against one another. The problems that we like to blame on everyone else, they are not something that someone else is causing to happen in our lives. They are inside of us. What does the Bible say there? It says, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So our greatest problems are never around us. They are in us. We like to say it's somebody else's fault. We remember in the story, we looked in the book of Genesis. Adam got caught sinning. Adam did wrong. What did Adam say? The woman that you gave me, the first person he blamed was God. Then after he realized he couldn't blame God, he blames the woman. What does the woman do? She blames the serpent. We often like to say that our biggest problem is because my mate doesn't act the way I think they should, or my children don't act the way they think they should, or the pressures I have because of financial, social, medical, or circumstantial things that are around me is the reason why I act the way I do. But you know what? It's the fact that we have a sinful heart. We're sinners, and we have a sinful heart, and we must do something about it. What am I supposed to do about it? Well, think about what it says in James 4:1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Now, what are those? Wars and fightings. No, it's not your family vacation. It's the problems that you have on the outside. Wars and fightings, the things that your flesh is going against. Come they not hence? Even of your lust. Now that's the inward desires of the heart. Just like it talked about in Mark, the inward desires of the heart that war in your members. It's talking about our flesh there, that they fight against one another. Our flesh is always contrary to us. Our spirit's willing. I mean, if you look at the end of chapter number 5, you look at the end there, it says at the verse number 17, it says, cannot do the things that you would. We want to do the right things, don't we? We love to be a person that is known as a person that has love, a person that's known as a person that has joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That's a great testimony. But here's the key. And once again, we want to hammer this home so hard that we will never forget it. We cannot produce these things in our lives. Only the Holy Spirit of God can do that. Bible tells us in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. What the Bible is saying here is that without God, he cannot produce these fruits in your lives. Now, once again, our flesh can cover up some things and it can produce it for a little while. But sooner or later, the end of the flesh will come and you will see the manifestation of the flesh, and you'll see what you got in verses 20 and 21 and verse number 19 in Galatians chapter number 5. Our problem is not that we need more self-determination. That's what people say. If I could just get over this one little thing, then I could be determined that I could fix this and I could have a life of peace. If I could just not have this bill, or if I could just not have this sickness, if I could just not, you know what? That's not going to bring peace. If this person would just change, then I could love them the way I should love them. That's not going to change it. It's not about self-determination. It's not about self-discipline. We need to walk with the Spirit. We need to abide in Christ. If we ever want to allow the Holy Spirit, if we ever want to let the Holy Spirit of God to develop and produce these fruits in our lives, we must stop trying to blame everyone else and look internally at our walk with God. So many times, I love talking to people. I love visiting with people. I enjoy spending time with people. And they love to blame circumstances or other people's for the way that they act. But when we come to this point and we ask ourselves, why am I producing more hate and anger instead of love? Why am I having bitterness and frustration instead of joy? Why am I having so much turmoil in my life instead of the peace that passeth all understanding? Why do I not have patience and I have a short temper instead of producing the fruit of long suffering? Why is that? And the truth is, it's our walk with God. God is saying that he has given us his Spirit, and in his Spirit he has given us the opportunity to bear these fruits if we let him be in control. But we must learn to abide with him, stay with him, close, intimate fellowship, always walking with him, spending time with him. It's abiding one another. It's living with the Holy Spirit of God and a precious conscience that we are standing before God and we want to please him and please him alone. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer tonight. Lord, we're thankful for tonight. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to come here tonight. Lord, I pray you help us understand. There are so many of us that struggle with this. We like to have patience, but Lord, we just can't do it on our own. We like to be a person that's long-suffering with our families and with our coworkers so that people can see Christ in us. But Lord, we need your help. We cannot produce this on our own. And Lord, I pray we see that the greatest problem, Lord, they're in us. They're not around us. Help us see this tonight. Help us to see if we're a person that is not long-suffering. It's not because of all the situations you've put us in, but Lord, instead, what's inside of us that is coming out. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we are referring to the fruit of long-suffering. And most of us are not very good at this. Most of us do not have the patience and the long-suffering to deal with others the way that Christ has asked us to do. Sometimes we may be able to do it for a little while. Sometimes we might be able to put on a mask for a little while. But then we get to the end of ourselves and we get frustrated and the flesh does finally manifest itself. And don't get me wrong. I know we're speaking to people here tonight that are frustrated. I know that we're speaking here tonight, people that could be frustrated at their work or people who could be frustrated with their families. They are human. They are flesh. They will make mistakes and they will do frustrating things. Your children are going to do frustrating things. That should not be a news thing for you. That should not have to be headline news for everyone. Our work is not always going to jump up and down because we're Christians and we always want to have Sundays off or we always want to do what's right. People are not going to stand up and pat us on the back just because of the fact that we say we want to live for God. There are people that will be frustrated. There are things in our lives that will bring us frustration. And the devil will try to tell us that all we need to do is quit. If we just give up trying to serve for God, if we give up trying to do the things that God asks us to do, everything will be fine. But you know what? The devil is a dirty, rotten liar. And he does whatever he can to try to get the people, God's people, to stop. He get everything he can to try to get you to quit doing what you're doing for God. But you know what? God says, let me give you long suffering. Let me give you the ability to make it through things. Let me give you my spirit so and my spirit can produce long suffering in your life. And I know that there are things in our lives that will drive us crazy, but how do we react to them? Long suffering is an interesting word. And the Greek word, long suffering, is made up of two separate words. The first is marko, which means slow, or meaning of slow. And then thumos, which is meaning wrath. This means it is slow to wrath. Now, that means that we don't get upset about things. We don't let things make us angry or wrathful. And this is, we are long-suffering when we are patient, slow to angry, or wrathful. This is completely wrathful. This is completely different from having a quick temper. Anybody ever met somebody with a quick temper? Don't raise your hand. But anybody live with somebody with a quick temper? Now, I mean, that is something that people have. And they just have no patience. But the fruit of the Spirit, God's saying, hey, I'm going to give you my spirit. And in my spirit, you can produce this. I understand we all have problems. But through it all, God has long suffering. And his spirit wants us to remain faithful to God. Remember, one of God's attributes is long suffering. The Bible says in Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. We meet a lot of Christians today that are not long-suffering. Someone will offend them, and they are quick to get offended and stay offended. We've met people before that have stories about things that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. I can't go back to that church because so-and-so did this. This was 20 or 30 years ago. The other guy is already dead, but they're offended by someone and they are quick-tempered and they say, it's not worth it anymore. It's not worth going to church. It's not worth serving the Lord because of the fact that this person did this to me. We meet a lot of people that struggle in that area. In the Christian life, there are so many people says, well, that's the last straw. I'm done. I'm over with. I'm getting out of here. But you know what? God says he wants us to be long-suffering. God tells us in his word, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We live in a day and a time where people want quick retribution. They want you to get over everything right now. There may be someone that you're at work that's giving you a problem. And you know what? You might be the boss. You might be able to squash them and say, just forget them. Get rid of them. But you know what God wants you to be? He wants you to be long-suffering. See, not enough people practice the patience of the Bible because most people are not walking in the Spirit. Instead, they're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It may do us well for us to be like this little boy. I heard a story about a little boy. He's standing there at the bottom of the escalator, just watching the escalator go up. The sales lady comes over and says, "Little boy, are you lost?" He said, "No." He says, "I'm just waiting for my bubble gum to come back down." Now that takes patience, waiting for that bubble gum to come back down. You know what? We need to learn how to be patient. We need to learn how to be patient. Long-suffering is willing to wait. Long-suffering is willing to be patient. I wonder if the devil has been telling you in your Christian life, hey, you're too busy. You're going to have to figure something out. Things are not working out the way you want. And the question is, do we really need to change our schedules? Or do we really need to look deep inside tonight and ask God to speak to our hearts? You know, there are so many people giving up on their families. So many people that are saying, hey, it's time to just get over it and just get a divorce. So many times people are saying, let's just get rid of the kids, or let's just walk out of our family tonight. Let's just turn our back on whatever responsibilities that God's given us. You know what? I don't think God wants us to give up. I don't think God wants us to give over to temptation. And you know what? I think God, he always provides a way of escape when there's a temptation there. He brings the Holy Spirit of God to give us encouragement. He always makes us able. I don't think he ever gives us too much that we cannot handle with his help. But you know what? There's so many people that are so quick-tempered who are just fed up and tired. And they says, I'm done. I'm over it. I'm gone. It's it. But you know what? Long-suffering teaches us that we're not going to be quick to wrath. Long-suffering teaches us that we will be patient. Long-suffering will teach us that we are willing to wait. Here's three things I want you to learn about long-suffering tonight. Three things I'd like you to think about. First is the perseverance of long-suffering. The perseverance of long-suffering. This is the longest point, and you have to persevere through it. That was a corny joke, but okay. You'll get that later on. Long-suffering enables us to persevere in a difficult day. Long-suffering will enable us to persevere in a difficult day. And I don't know about you, but I look around this room and I know some of your stories. I don't know all your stories, but I know some of your stories. And some of you are living in a difficult day right now. Some emotionally, some financially, some physically, some spiritually. But you know what? Long-suffering will cause you to be able to patiently wait and allow God to do his work in your heart and allow God to do his work in your life. James 5:10 puts it this way. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. He says, remember the prophets. He said, if you want to know, and you want to see somebody that was having a bad day, go back to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had preached year after year after year and not recorded one convert. He was thrown in the pit. He was accused of being a traitor. He had done all these things that he was just serving God. But God had called him up for that moment and that time. God wanted one more man to stand back and say, Israel, return back to God. Israel, return back to God. God knew that the guys weren't going to return back. God knew that they were headed to Babylon. God knew that already. But God raised up a man. And the only thing that man did was God's will. And you know what happened? He suffered the whole entire time. But you know what? He did God's will. And through long suffering and patience, he accomplished what God wanted him to accomplish. And we have a story of the mercy of God in the Bible because that man faithfully said, come back, come back, come back. You think about Elijah, you know, the prophets of Baal. You think about Elisha. You look at all the different prophets in the Bible many times. You think about Gomer's husband, how she continued on giving him all her time. You think about all those different prophets. And that's what James says. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Sometime when we want to just give it up and throw it in the towel, we need to go back and read what some of those prophets went through. We need to learn and understand what our Bible teaches us as men of God and ladies and women of God. They suffered sometimes, and because they were patient, God was able to use them in their lives. Long-suffering. It's not found very often in many places today. But it can be found in your life if you're willing to walk in the Spirit. Here's three things underneath the perseverance of long-suffering. First of all, why should we persevere? What makes it worth it? Number one is because of the will of God. Because of the will of God for our lives. I don't know about you, but I've told you before, I do not want to miss out on the will of God for my life. We need to be careful when we make decisions, when we're frustrated, when we're tired, when we're going through emotional times. Oftentimes, when we all get tired and discouraged, we sometimes make wrong decisions or are made because of our feelings. We do all have times when we're tired. We all have times when we get discouraged. And we make comments like, my mate doesn't love me anymore. My kids don't listen to me anymore. My people at work don't appreciate me anymore. And they say, I feel this or I feel that. And we base our decision many times off our feelings. Remember, our heart is deceitfully wicked. It's desperately wicked. It's going to try to deceive us. The devil tries to do that. He tries to use our heart to get us to stop. And you know what? Many times we forget about God. We forget about, I know God brought me here. I know God's designed me to be here. I know God wanted me to be married. I know God wanted me to raise these kids. And one of the reasons why we need to be long-suffering, one of the reasons why we need to be patient, is because we need to learn to allow God to work through us and whatever he's going to do. Maybe God wants to draw you near to him. Maybe God wants you to strengthen you, but we're not patient enough and long-suffering enough to allow God to finish the work in our lives. You know what? Many times when I see somebody going through a trial, I see them give up, I see them get frustrated, and sometimes it might have been right at the end of the trial, but you know what happens? Either number one, they're going to have to face that trial sooner or later some other time. Well, that's times he's like, well, I just don't want to deal with it. I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm just going to resign. You know, sooner or later, whatever caused you to have that frustration and not be long-suffering and not be patient, you know what that means? Sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with that in another area. You might as well let God do the work now, because it's not going to stop whatever the root of the sin is. It's not going to cause you to be, hey, I woke up today. I'm long-suffering now. No, it's you let God do the work. But many times I've seen the same individual go through the same problem a year or two later because they didn't deal with it then. Or they just pretty much just give up and quit on God. What we need to do when we have problems is to seek after God. Search his resources. We need to learn that we can be stronger in the end because God has a will. And what God's will is I'm going to go through this or I'm going to go through that. You need to ask this question, what is God trying to do? And you need to say, I might not know what God wants for me. I might not even understand why God is allowing me to do this. But I do believe in the Bible. Second thing, not only because it's the will of God for our lives, but also God may be trying to challenge us. God may be trying to challenge us. Take your Bibles right now and go to Psalms 119. It's in the middle of your Bible. It's not the exact middle, but Psalms 119. I want you to look at verse number 71. God may be challenging us. You know, we need to understand that we need to persevere because the long-suffering of God teaches us that God's will for our lives, and in God's will for our lives, he may be challenging us. He may want something from us. He may be allowing something to happen in our lives so he could teach us something new from his scriptures. Psalms 119, verse 71. Psalms 119, verse 71. Some people will look at this passage of scripture and say, I don't understand this at all. But those who have allowed God to do a work in their hearts and lives before, when God has challenged them, will say, you know what, that's true. Why don't we read this all together? Psalms 119, 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Let's read it one more time together. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn the statutes. Now, a lot of the music we use here is called Majesty Music. It's put on by Majesty Music Ron Hamilton. Most of you would know him as Patch the Pirate. And we've used Patch the Club before in the past, and someday in the future we might use Patch the Club in different ways. But you know what Ron Hamilton, one of the famous songs he sings? He sings, Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. And that's a great song. But you know, that man that's singing that song lost his eye to cancer. The patch isn't just there to look cool for an outfit. He lost his eye for cancer. But you know, he can stand up and he can say, Rejoice in the Lord. He can say, Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. Sometimes God has a purpose. And sometimes God just wants us to make things real to us. We just need to learn how to persevere. We need to learn how to do it with long sufferings. It says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And I got to be honest with you, I can only speak for myself, but there's been things I've learned in my life that I would not have known unless I had gone through a situation, unless I had been afflicted, unless I had been treated wrong, unless I had been treated with maybe abused in certain ways. There are certain things, unless God did not allow that to happen to me, there are certain things I would not know today. And if we are honest with ourselves, the different things that God has allowed us to go through, and we've allowed God to work in our hearts, and we allow God to work in our lives, and in the end, we can say, you know what? I drew closer to God. God showed me something in the scriptures. God showed me and taught me something I would have never known had he not let me get sick, had he not let my child go through that, had he not let that relationship or that friendship sever. There are things I would have never figured out. There's parts of the word of God I would have never sought out unless I was afflicted. That's what David's saying here. He says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God may be trying to use us also. Not only is God may be trying to challenge us, he might be trying to use us. You think about it, he may bring something in our life because he wants to use us in a way we did not even think possible. I love the story. Actually, let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Now, this is at the front of your Bible. So you don't have to go, you just go to the first chapter, Genesis chapter number 50. The other one was in the middle of your Bible, Genesis chapter number 50. You know, God may be trying to challenge us, and that's why God allows things to happen in our lives so we can learn from statutes. But if we're not long-suffering, if we're not persevering with long-suffering, that's never going to happen. We're never going to reach the challenge because we've given up. We've thrown in the towel. We have to long to persevere through it with long-suffering because God could be challenging us. Second, because God could be trying to use us. Look what it says in Genesis 50:20. The Bible says, "But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring the pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Now, most of us would know that this is the story of Joseph. Joseph is talking to his brethren. The brethren had been really bad to him. I know we have some brothers and sisters in the room. Some of the brothers might say, "Hey, look, my brother's mean to me. He pulled my pigtails." Or, "My brother's mean to me. He punched me in the shoulder." Or, "My sister's mean to me. She cut the hair off my baby doll." You know, these brothers, and you shouldn't do any of those things, but these brothers had so much jealousy. They threw this man in a pit. They sold him into slavery. They thought he was dead, went back to his father, said he was dead, and they lived all these lives guilt-stricken, and now they are standing before Joseph as a second in charge of all of Egypt. And you know what? They were worried. But Joseph was long-suffering through all this. He was patient. He didn't blame God. He didn't get angry with his brothers. You know, when Joseph became second in power, Joseph probably could have sent a group of guards down to his father's house, got those brothers, brought them back, and had them be slaves for the rest of their lives. I mean, it was one of the most powerful places in all the world, Egypt, that day. He could have done whatever he wanted to, but because he was long-suffering, because he allowed God to work, he saw that they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I don't know where there may be someone in your life today that means some type of evil against you. There may be someone at your work. There may be a neighbor. There may even be somebody at your church. There may even be someone inside your own family. And unfortunately, this happens, and they're attempting to discourage you. There is a person who's called the Holy Spirit who is able to make you slow to wrath. There is a person called the Holy Spirit of God that can produce long-suffering, that will allow you to give grace and be able to have peace, even though these are trying to cause you to hurt them. You say, "Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through." Joseph says, "Look, I seen the light. As I allowed God to work, I saw how God used you to help me to be a blessing to other people." That's what long-suffering is all about. There are times as your pastor, you know, I would love to be able to fix things. You know, some of you I know might struggle financially. I would love to be able to say, here's $1 million. Never have another problem. Maybe some of you that are struggling in your family say, "Okay, here, your marriage is fixed. Never to have another problem again." Or they might say at school, here's your high school diploma, or here's your college diploma, here's your master's degree or your doctor's degree. I'd love to be able to make that all happen. But you know, if that was the case and we allowed those things to happen, we would never, ever learn to trust in God. and for the people I love, for my own family. I love to remove every burden that they ever had in their life. But if they never had a burden, they would never turn to God. If they never had a burden, they would never learn to trust in His sovereign hand. They would never learn to read the Bible as they should. They would never learn to depend on the Holy Spirit of God. And don't get me wrong. I'm praying that God works things out in your lives. I'm praying that God uses you. But while God is still waiting to answer those prayers, I think we need to grow in grace. I think we need to learn to be long-suffering through all of it. Remember, God has a will. God wants to challenge us tonight. God wants to use us tonight. And we need to persevere long through long-suffering because we know that God may be trying to correct us. And we'll go through this one quickly. You know, God might be allowing something in our lives, and we need to persevere through because God might be saying, hey, there's something you need to fix over here. Yeah, He might be challenging us to take that next step and learn. He might be using us and getting ready to use us for something great. It might be just simply that we need to correct something. Think about what it says in Hebrews 12, 6 and 7. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You know, it's not my job to try to figure out if God is allowing this to happen to your life because of sin. It's not your job either to try to figure that out for anybody. The truth is, if someone comes to me with a problem, many times I'll tell them, make sure you're as close to God as you can be. Make sure you don't have any unconfessed sins. So that way God can try to teach you what you're learning. Don't allow any unconfessed sin to be in your life. And then allow God to teach you. It's not always a bad thing that you go through a difficult thing. Because God could be working on your behalf to be able to conform you into the image of His Son. God could be working to make you more like Jesus Christ. And we must persevere because God has a will for our lives. And we don't want to miss what God's will is for us. We must always remember He has a will and a purpose. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For in whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, I know most of you could probably quote it, at least one of those verses, but are we living it today? See, the reason why we must persevere with long suffering is because God's got a plan for you. And that plan means He might be trying to challenge you. He might be trying to use you. He might be trying to clean you or correct you. Second thing is, not only is it the perseverance of long-suffering, and it will probably only get to the second spot tonight, is the influence of long-suffering. The influence of long-suffering. You know, we can influence others when we have the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. When the Holy Spirit of God is producing His fruit of long-suffering, we can help others with a sweet spirit. Long-suffering is the grace of the man who could revenge himself and does not. Long-suffering is the grace of the man who could revenge himself and does not. It's what we talk about Joseph. He could have revenged himself. In every man's eyes, he was been rightful to revenge himself. But he's saying, this is where long-suffering is. When you have the opportunity to squash somebody, you say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to allow God to do a work in my heart to teach me what He wants me to do. See, long-suffering helps us sustain the race with a sweet spirit. I am saying that we should be persevering, but not with a bad attitude. I don't want to say, I love for the Lord allow me to stay here for many years. Sometimes a pastor stays and goes. Sometimes they're here for 2 years, 3 years. An average amount of time for an independent Baptist pastor to stay at a church is somewhere between 3 years and 4 years. The youth pastor is less than that. And if God allowed me to stay here, that'd be great. But I don't want to persevere here with a bad attitude. I don't want to come up here and be grumpy. I don't want to come up here and have a wrong attitude and say, I'm just enduring through. That's not the Christian life. That's not what God's... Don't let the devil rob you of your joy. You have to let the Holy Spirit of God produce His fruit in your life or it will not last. You will not be happy. You will not be thankful until we abide with Christ. And there are people out there who are grumpy. There are people out there who are always unhappy. There are people out there who are just enduring their way through. That is not the way God has intended. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, we learned it was love, it was joy, It was peace, and it was long-suffering. It all works together. The Holy Spirit of God wants to produce all those things in your heart. So don't fool yourself in that you're enduring your way through and just gritting your teeth, and you're being long-suffering, because the Bible tells you need to be long-suffering. Because if you can't do it without joy, then there's something wrong with your walk with God. Yes, there might be something wrong with your husband. There might be something wrong with your wife. There's probably definitely something wrong with your kids. I know who they are. There might be something wrong with the people you work with. There might be something wrong with other things in your life. But you know what? If you cannot allow these things to be produced in your life, there's something wrong with your walk with God. See, we always have something to be joyful for. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. We have a great country. We have people who pray for you. You have people who love you. More importantly, you have the Holy Spirit of God that can produce this joy in your heart and life. Sunday school teachers, the best lesson you might ever teach is not the message you get from a quarterly, but the message you give while going through a tough time. The influence of long-suffering with our family. The Holy Spirit of God wants us to have patience and long-suffering with our family. Now, be honest with you, this is where I probably had the least amount of patience, and I probably should have more. Because it's hard, the people that are closest to us, we expect a lot from, and we need to learn to be patient and long-suffering with our family. Think about this. A good marriage is not the result of finding the right person. Now, don't get me wrong. It's important to find the right person to be in the will of God. But a good marriage is not the result of finding the right person. It is a result of being the right person. It's a result of being the right person. Now, I think you need to find the right person, but then you also need to be that right person. You can blame your mate all you want for your problems, but the Bible tells us, where does the anger come from? It comes from inside. We need to do something with the inside. We need to die to the flesh, crucify the flesh. We need to get rid of it, mortify the flesh, and we need to walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:29 puts it this way, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Listen to that verse again. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, listen to this again. Now, husbands, listen, is this the way you talk to your wives? Wives, is this the way you talk to your husbands? Children, is this the way you talk to your parents? Parents, is this the way you talk to your children? Listen to what it says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. It doesn't say the tearing down or ripping apart. To the use of edifying, that it may minister grace. And what is grace? Unmerited favor. Not because they've earned it, but because of what you're trying to be. Minister grace unto the hearers. Many times, inside of home is a battle zone. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We live and we sit and watch for that next person to make a mistake. We can jump on them. We got something over. Hey, you did this. Well, why'd you do this? The Bible says that we're supposed to be doing what? That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, long suffering, the influence of love suffering with our family means that we will try to encourage. You encourage each other in the work of the Lord. I've seen a lot of mates do this. I see my mom, who my mom and dad both professed to be saved, but my mom was a wonderful Christian lady, and my dad did not go to church when I was a child, and my mom tried to encourage him. I mean, praise the Lord for husbands and wives that want to encourage their mates. Even though some may be grumpy, even though some may be hard to figure out, you know what? That's what long-suffering is, being patient with them, being kind. Yes, you have a right to state your viewpoint. Yes, you have this. Yes, you have. But what is long-suffering? It is the grace of the man who could revenge himself and does not. I've seen many wives, and I'm not talking about my mother here, I've seen many wives in the world's eyes have the right to get up and leave their husband because of the way their husband treats them or vice versa. But the grace that is shown by staying and believing that it's God's purpose and plan, that's what long-suffering is. That is produced by the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want my children to see a grumpy father who hates the ministry, who complains about many things that he has to do. You know, that's not being long-suffering. That's not a good influence in my home. And the same thing with us. We need to be careful what we say around our children. We need one to demonstrate. You can sit and wait for your loved one to make a mistake and jump all over them. I've seen brothers and sisters do it. I've seen husband and wives do it. Or you can walk around being a critical and being a grouch, making everyone else uncomfortable. I've seen that happen inside the church. That's sad. Or we can be patient, long-suffering, and not easily provoked. Okay, so with the influence of suffering, long-suffering with our family, the influence, and we're going to finish with this one because our time's getting away from us, the influence of long-suffering with others around us. Like most fruits of the Spirit, patience is a product of love. Charity suffer long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth itself not up, is not puffed up. Charity suffereth long. Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We never know what a person's going through. I remember hearing the story one time. You know, a man was sitting on the subway, and he had three or four children. The three or four children were acting like maniacs. They were coloring on the wall and everything else, and this professional lady enters the subway and sits down and is disgusted by what's going on, and he walks up and tells the man, he says, I don't know what your problem is, but these are the worst group of kids I've ever seen in my life. How can you let them act that way? And the man said, he says, I just found out 30 minutes ago that their mother, my wife, had just passed away. I'm just kind of in a daze, and I'm sorry. We never know what they're going through. We never know what an individual's going through. We will all have problems, and you know what? We will all have people that will annoy us. I mean, maybe you are surrounded by everybody and no one ever gets on your nerves, but you know what? I don't think that's the case, because we always will have people that will annoy us, sometimes even annoy us to death. But you know what? Those people that are critical, and even their neighbors or coworkers or friend or family, you know what they need to see? Do they need to see somebody who's quick-witted? Do they need to see somebody who can give it back to them? Do they need to see somebody who can argue with them and make them feel as bad as you make them feel? No, they need to see a spirit-filled Christian that can be long-suffering with them. I got to be honest with you. As a pastor, sometimes people try to bait you. They try to ask you questions. Sometimes they do it in front of people. Do it, just try to get you a question that they don't think you can answer. Sometimes they'll say some of the stupidest things just to see what you'll respond. Try to get you to say something that they know you wouldn't like, and they ask certain questions, and they do it in front of groups of people, and they're being idiots when they do it. But they try to do things to try to ask you questions, to try to embarrass you, or embarrass you being a pastor, or embarrass somebody else that's around them. You know what? I have a choice at that moment in time. I can be quick with it. I can turn around and I can say to them, you know what? You're being really immature. You need to learn how to grow up and not even ask that. Sometimes that might even be appropriate. But you know what I do most times, especially if I don't know the individual? Because sometimes lost people are just trying to find a reason to blame you for not being able to go to church. Well, your pastor said this. No, I don't know if that person is a person you've invited to church. I don't know if that person is a father, a husband, wife, whoever it is that you've been praying for many years. And you know what? I don't want that person to see somebody who thinks that they own the whole world, or somebody that's going to lower down to their level. I want that person to see somebody that has Jesus Christ living in them. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see Christ. Because I don't know if that's a husband or a wife or a child or grandchild that you've been fasting over and praying for. I don't want my fleshly side to come out. I want them to see Christ, and I want them to see Christ in every situation. But yes, some people don't even. I have people come up to me afterwards and say, Pastor, I can't believe they would let someone would treat my pastor like that. And I tell them, you know what? That was their flesh talking. They need Christ. They need to see Christ in someone. And you know when they're going to see that? They're going to see that when we allow someone to be long-suffering with them. Ephesians 4:1-3, the Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now listen to these words. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know, if we walk in the Spirit, we can have influence in our society. any unsaved man or saved person can get mad and angry and curse and pitch a fit. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. But only a person that is controlled by the Spirit of God can consistently be long-suffering and patient and kind with another individual and let what the world needs to see is Christ. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Now, if we walk in the Spirit, we can have influence. The person who is filled with the Spirit can show grace, and that's what can make a difference in someone's life. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes someone needs to be corrected. I'm not saying that you should sit there and you allow everyone to abuse you. But you know what the Bible does say? Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Bible saying there is that Jesus did not react. He committed himself to God and committed them to God. The last point, I'm just going to tell you what it is the deliverance of long-suffering. We had the perseverance of long-suffering, the influence of long-suffering, and the deliverance of long-suffering. You say, what's the deliverance of long-suffering? Jesus Christ is coming back. I mean, he's coming back. I mean, we can patiently wait. No matter what happens to us in this world, we can know that Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, you say, Pastor, I don't see in the Bible where it tells me I need to be patient and long-suffering. You know, we want to be like Jesus Christ, and he was long-suffering. He was patient. He was patient with Judas till the end. Even at that moment, Judas would have repented. I think Judas could have been in heaven. I don't think Judas was. But I think he was patient and long-suffering with him. He was long-suffering with his disciples when they were sleeping, when they should have been praying. He was patient with his own half-brother, James. And he was patient with so many of us. Tonight, the fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering. Are we really, truly patient? Man and the devil, will use man to try to cause us to erupt, to be short-tempered, to be acting in our anger. And this is the one thing that I hear more than anybody else say, I'm short-tempered, I have an anger problem, that's just me, there's nothing I can do about it. I tell them that they're wrong. I tell them that that's a lie, because if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God, they say they can produce this fruit. But why isn't it being produced in your life? More personal, why isn't it being produced in my life? And that's the question we need to ask. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.